Well, I do desire your prayers. I'd like to start tonight with a scripture, 6th chapter of Matthew. Very, very familiar scripture. 19th verse says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Last week, my family and I were in the Oklahoma City Zoo walking around, and I've noticed that they will take these animals, and they like to build the habitat that they are familiar with, what they belong in. They put a tiger, for instance, in a place, and he had rocks, and there was a bamboo forest around it. Those tigers came from a place like that, and so they put it in there, and I had one of the workers tell me one time that they like to deal with them if they're animals that look for their food the best that they can. They like to establish that in a way that they're doing it in a natural way. They fed the gorillas while we was out there, and I noticed that somebody came around instead of just putting it in one place. They scattered it all over the field, over the mountain, and I asked them, why'd you do that for? And they said that they like to scavenge. It's natural to them to go and get food, but it ain't all in one place. And they give them exercise, and it's a part of the animals to do that. And so they do this. They have a bat exhibit, and you go in there in the daytime, and it's all built like what they do. And they do that a whole zoo like that. Well, we came around to one area, and I looked, and there was a couple bald eagles. And we was up on a walkway, and they was down into a little place way down in below, and a little cage of sorts there, and they were just sitting there. And I thought, boy, they put everything in its habitat, but these eagles was down on the ground. And I know eagles come down to the ground, and it's part of what they do. But it immediately struck me as something's not right in this exhibit. We read a little, or one of the children read about it, and one of these eagles had been hit by a truck, and it couldn't fly anymore. And it was good to be able to get that close to him and see him, but there was something wrong with this eagle. My mind was, and I thought of it at the time, how could you allow this exhibit to be really what this eagle was made to be? Because this eagle wasn't made to sit down in to a hole down in. This eagle was made with wings. And this eagle was made and designed to live a good portion of his life up above things. And we heard a little exhortation before prayer about sin and what it does to people. And it brings people down. It takes their freedom from them. It causes them to do things a lot of times that maybe they really don't want to do, but they do them. Or at least I say this, they don't want the results of what it's going to do. And I thought about these, and for whatever it's worth, I want to give you something to allow the Lord to work with an analogy here, because the eagles wasn't meant to be down there. You know that an eagle has one of the strongest eye in the animal kingdom? And I looked at that and said, he could see no more than 100 feet probably. Now this eye is designed to see vast distances and be able to see small objects from great ways off, and it's used in his benefits and all, but he's down into a hole in a place that eye that he was made with to benefit him does him no good at all. My thought tonight is grounded. He's grounded. An eagle will take flight. They're not extremely strong flyers like a lot of birds are. But the eagle takes flights, and then he was made to ride the air current. And once he gets up there, they're called thermals. And what happens as the sun hits the earth, it begins to warm the earth. And the sun don't warm the air. It warms the earth, which warms the air. And it causes what's called thermals. And so the heat rises off of the earth, and it causes pockets as it does. And these eagles are able to get up there above everything on these thermals, and then they're able, without almost no work, no energy, they're not putting out. They're not trying. They're not doing anything. Do you want to put a definition to what Brother Michael asked about what is freedom? In a sense, they are free up there to be what they were created to be. They don't have to work hard to do it. They're made to do it. And without energy or effort, they can do what they're made to do. And you know, they can be up there for endless hours and not expend any energy. Almost none, because they lock in and all they do is just kind of twist their feathers and all, and can go great distances and see great sights and see enormous things, and that's what they're made to do. But because of an injury to them, and now the inability to rise to what they were intended to rise. See, there's a place that you can do that, and then there's a place you can never do that. There is a place that the only thing you're going to do is flop your wings to try to get there. And that's what an eagle does. He has to get there, but once he gets there, now there's an experience. But now these ones, they'll never do it again because they're grounded. This scripture says, very familiar scripture, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But the contrary of that, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Now, what is treasure? It's something valuable, isn't it? It's something that you believe has value to you. And you know, many people ground themselves. The highest thing they ever see is the little hole of their life. They're never able to see out of their own prejudices. They're never able to see out of their own upbringings, their own view of things, the angle that they've seen life with. Only thing they see in their little circumference of their world, and their eye was made for, folks, I'm telling you, it was made for so much more than that. It was made to see beyond those things most people never see or able to see, because they never rise above anything other than seeing what I can get and gain and what I can have in this world of my things. And it's why the Lord said, don't lay up your treasures upon earth. Do you know, when you lay up your treasure, to every treasure that you have on this earth, it's like you putting a cuff around your leg and hooking it to that object, and as far as you can drag that thing, lift it or tote it to carry it with you, protect it and keep it, and that's all as far as you'll ever see. It's like taking one of these eagles that can fly and tying a ball to it, a ball and chain, and flop that he's, as he will, he's got something that he can never get above. But our world is full of this. And if we're not careful, even, if I may say this, even as saints, even as people of God, because we live in the world and because the things of this world, they are necessary to our well-being. Understand what I'm saying? It's our well-being to have a home to live in. Because of that, if we're not very careful, we begin to put our attachments. These things aren't to put your heart on, folks. These things are to use as God gives. But He wasn't talking about here, don't have a house. He wasn't saying don't have a vehicle. He wasn't saying don't have some money to get what you need to do. Of course the Lord wasn't saying any of that. He was talking about a treasure. When we look at them as a treasure, when we start taking them and putting our heart on them and saying, I'm building from this point, more than I need to have, more than is necessary to have, but as I start pulling to my and doing these things, then they become a weight. And to understand what I'm talking about is because these things are meant to elevate us. They're meant for us to get up, to take our flight from. They help us. They really do. It's a benefit to live in a country to where you get to eat enough to sustain you. Isn't it? Isn't it a blessing to be in a world to where you're educated enough to be able to read? Isn't that a blessing to our lives? See, all those things are given to us to make us better. But not to put a heart on. Not for us to take that and make a treasure of it. Because when we begin to do that, and it is all over. But when we begin to do that, it clouds our vision. We don't see what we're really supposed to see in it all. Do you realize that when we start doing that, it's like putting ourselves down into a place that the only thing I can see, it's pretty pitiful if all that I've ever seen in this life was the four walls of this building. Because my eyes are made to see beyond that. And you know, our spiritual eyes are meant to see beyond the troubles of this life. God gave us a spiritual vision that's supposed to look beyond the persecution of people's lives. Of the things that people bring against us, of the things that life brings to itself, and it's almost always people, isn't it? I mean, honestly, it's almost always people. But you know, God gives us a vision above all that. But if you're down in the hole of your own world, your own vision, your own selfishness, you'll never see above. You'll never see the purposes that God gave you to soar. It's like a thermal. God wants to raise you up and fly over those things, not be tied down in them. So now along my neighbor comes along and he challenges me over 6 inches of my property line. Do you know if I'm putting treasures on this earth, that 6 inches is valuable. That's treasure. Runs the whole length of my property. That's valuable. But if I tie myself to that, I will never see the spiritual aspect of that. Here is a golden opportunity for me to show someone Christ. Here is a golden place for me to show someone that I really believe that there's something more valuable than this secular life, this life that I live. If we're not very careful, we claim the name of Christ and claim the great rewards of Christ, but we show everything but that life to those that are around us because we are adding treasures to this life. We are earthbound. We're earthbound. Do you know, really, there is something so much greater than being living on this earth? We fight the idea of it, but Scripture doesn't bear it. If you'll give me this liberty, I think most of us know. The Scripture doesn't bear out that the most important thing of our existence is this life on this earth. Absolutely not. But He tells us that there's something greater beyond this life. That we're to focus, our eyesight, our vision, Our way of life has to be in the fact that God made an eternity for me. There's a heaven for me. Jesus bought that for me. So my vision then is beyond the mundane. It's beyond the secular, the tangible. And it lifts me up. I soar when I begin to get my eyes on the eternal purposes of things. It causes me to look at someone differently that's not like me. Now, Jesus, did he not soar? Didn't Jesus soar in all the life here? It was said of him that he was reviled, but he reviled not again. Why? Because he was above it. He saw it for what it was. Why did he look down on this awful, sinful bunch that was gnashing their teeth on him and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because he was on eagle's wings, if you will. He was above the fray of this secular world and he saw them for what they was. They look like we want to present ourselves as big, tough men inside your little sniveling boys, your children. It's a facade that people have in their lives. And the Lord sees that. And he looked down and he saw that. And so this is why the Lord responded the way he did when the scribe said, Oh, Master, I'll follow you whithersoever you go. And the Lord said, The Son of Man, their birds have nests. And foxes have holes. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Why? Because I'm not interested in gathering up of this world. My vision isn't on the things of this world. My vision is on the eternal things. So don't lay up for yourselves treasures. You know that there can be other treasures than just the things that of having money in your pocket. There's a lot of treasures. You know, a treasure to a person can even be their fame. Their fame can be a treasure to them. But it's still something that's earthly. It's being grounded. Lord, help us tonight, as we had the exhortation already about being free. Don't be grounded. Don't allow your life to be grounded just down on the things that you can see. The scripture says, For where your treasure is, this isn't arguable. There is no ambiguity in this at all. He said, For where your treasure is, Okay, no arguing. For where your treasure is. Well, I still love the Lord and want to go to heaven and all this, but I have that. No, for where your treasure is, there will you be your heart also. You're not arguing about it. If you're putting treasure in something, you're putting your heart to something, if something's valuable to you, your heart is there. Argue about it, resist it. All you want to, you got a ball and chain on your leg, and you're going to respond in life to that ball and chain. You're going to respond to the heart when it comes to that treasure. Brother, you keep your hands off of it, or we're going to clash because you just touched something valuable to me. When I don't have that as a treasure, I see things. I got a treasure over there. That's where my heart's at, and therefore I can see the life differently. We as Christians are supposed to look at life differently. We don't look at them in just a little prism of our own lives. We look at it as eternal purpose. Do you realize that people that come against you, that you look at and say, Oh, they did me evil, they did me wrong. That being true, these are eternity-bound souls going to hell. And Jesus loves them and wants what? To save them. And you see it different. You see it different when you're not earthbound. You see it different when you're not grounded. Why was the eagle grounded? Because he ran into a truck and he got injured. There's something wrong, folks. That's what sin does to us. That's what selfishness does to it. And it bounds you down. For where your treasure is, there will you be your heart also. I've said this different places around, but I remember reading it several years ago, and it challenged me. A guy said that he'd done a simple little test about in his life, and he said, don't gauge yourself when you're busy on the job because there's pressures of that job for you to think.
and to perform that job. Don't judge yourself when you're in the middle of an inspired service, because you're being inspired by that. You're being motivated by that. But the writer of this said, judge yourself when everything's went quiet. You're through with your job. Now, there's no pressure on you, and you sat down, and you can think on anything you want to think on. What do you think on? Just as a matter of you looking at yourself honestly to say, what do I think on? And you'll start seeing something about yourself if you do. And if you say, whew, what a long day. And now I have a few moments to think on what I want to think about. And you start thinking about the goodness of God and the blessings that He is and what He's done for you in your life. Then you can, you say, I've got a treasure. I'll be honest with you. It's come and went in my life, so I'm not going to stand up here as somebody bigger than I am. But I love this aspect that when I wake up in the morning, that one of my first thoughts and the first things that's coming from me is this thanksgiving to the Lord. And I'm usually like, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this day that I'm about to start. Oh, Lord, I appreciate you so much. And to me, I'm thankful for that moment of time. But it's still a little bit regenerating in me from this waking of the night. But now I've got total thinking on my, I can think of whatever I want to. And if when that time, if I say,
I've invested so much. The stock market went up, so I can take anything I want. And I noticed that the stocks went up so much today, and that means that I am so much more valuable, worth more than I used to be. And you spend an hour doing that, and listen, this is totally hypothetical. I don't. But somebody that would do that, I would say to them, you better be careful. Not that you can't think about things, folks, but you've been given the liberty to do in your life what you will. And when you do that, you better say, I've laid up treasures that has the ability to encourage me. I've laid up treasures that makes ability to really take me down. Because if that stock market goes down, I might be here tomorrow saying, oh, I'm dead, I've lost my, and if the treasure goes up, oh, and I'm putting my life on something that isn't worth putting it on. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus said it right here. When you start putting your life, the treasure of your life into this, you're headed for disappointment. Now, I want to bring this into it because I think if we're not careful, this can hurt us in our lives. We know that the Lord is a great blesser of this natural life, isn't He? I mean, the Lord has provided, blessed, kept us, healed our children, blessed us, kept us. He's been with us. He is faithful. But there's more to this life. There's more to us than the blessings Jesus has on our life here. Because I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. He loves every one of us. And there is a reason for the Lord to let every one of us come down to an ultimate end, folks. He's been real good to me, and I've told it many times. If the Lord decides to take me anytime, I'll have to testify to you, it's been a good one. He's done more than I could have expected in my life, and if He takes me at a young age, I'm going to go ahead and say the Lord is just, He is good, He's blessed me, and I was glad I lived this way. But it's coming. It's coming, and we are many times, when it comes down, as good saints, we are earthbound. Why are we earthbound? Because we accumulate the earth in our minds. You know what I'm saying? I'm earthbound. I got strings tied everywhere. And I'm earthbound with it. And now all of a sudden I'm coming down and the Lord's bringing me to a possible place that I'm going to go out of here. And I got the cords everywhere. And I'm earthbound. And there's no freedom there. I'm not seeing it the right way. Oh Lord, not me. Not now. I got too much to live for. I'm too young. And I ain't seen the spiritual vision at all. I haven't seen the purpose of God eternally. Does He use people that way? Well, last time I checked, Jesus died on the cross for that. And He wants us to live that way too. So Lord, help us that we're not bound. I read a story, John Wesley had a friend in England, and he said the friend said he had a great vast land, property, and him and John Wesley had got on the horseback, and they had rode from the time the sun went up until the sun went down, and they're up on this place, this little rise on these horses, and at the sun going down, the friend looked at him and said, "Well, what do you think of that?" They had rode all day and stayed on this man's property. And he said, "What do you think of that?" And John Wesley said, "It's going to be awful hard to get turn loose off." You know what he was looking at? He was looking from up here. Brother, I've got more. God has got more for me than all of this. I got a sight of something over yonder that's so bright and hopeful. I got the joy over there. I got so much more than you're riding here. And you got this and you got your heart on it. And it's going to be hard for you to turn loose of it and ever see. And now you got this. It's valuable in your heart, valuable in your land. Somebody's going to challenge you for it. Now where's your vision at? So now the old king's going to lay some taxes on you, or he's going to take it from you. Now where's your joy at? Mine can't be taken away. I've got a land that shines and it's glorious. And do you know what? My physical condition has nothing to do with it. My neighbors ain't got nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter of the condition of the world around me. It's bright and shiny up there. It's still there. It'll always be there. And if we got our eyes on it, folks, we'll handle life so much better. We'll see it for what it is. And now when somebody's bad-mouthing us, they're running us down, we can honestly say, Brother, come and go to heaven with me, and mean it from in here. Why? Because I'm on a thermal. I'm soaring above those kind of things. That ain't nothing. That's a little bit of this old nasty, sinful world that rumbles underneath of us sometimes when we got this experience. It's rumbling down there. Sometimes it reaches up to where we're at, and we say, "Oh, brother, come up here where we're at. You're down there all tied to that stuff. Come on up here." These words were of great wisdom about not laying up treasures on this earth. You're tied to it. You're going to be stuck right down here in the mud of it. But he wants us to soar above those kind of things. Scripture goes along with this over in 2 Corinthians. I'll try about 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not." That's for 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. It says, "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Oh, this old outward man, he's surely going down, isn't he? He's a perishing. Everybody's lived very long, says, I ain't what it used to be. This old body's going down in it, Brother Cook. It's headed towards that. It's perishing. But the inward, wait a minute. The inward man, what's happening to him? Do you know the idea here is, it's supposed to be, as the outward man perishes, the inward man gets stronger. That's what this is about. As you live for God, now listen, you and I both know that it don't have to do that. That he's saying what it can do, not what it always does. Or not what, as the out, you know there's people that their outward man perishes and their inward one does too. The more the outward one goes, the worse the inward one gets. That's not what he wants to happen. And that's not what Paul was talking about here either. As the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed every day, regenerated every day. I read somewhere recently that the old Israelites believed that the angels was every day, this was a part of what they said, that the angels every morning, God dunked them in the river of fire, renewing the angels every day. They got a new one. And thus he says this, that every day we're to be dunked again. Every day we're to be renewed again. Every day. But here's the contrast. Is it this old man? Or is it this renewing? There's two. One perishes, one renewed. You know, a lot of that's up to us. It's up to us. We bound ourselves by the decisions and choices we make in life. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now here goes old Apostle Paul again. Now, he was known for this. If you
read much about. He was known for this kind of language. Light affliction. You ever read what he went through? But he was giving an honest comparison about what he really believed. And he called it a light affliction. But it didn't look light to the natural eyes. But it did to the spiritual eyes. But you know why? Because there was such an exceeding weight of glory that he was getting from the things he was going through. In other words, he soared above it, gaining every victory, every thermal that came, he was able to ride it above. Everything that caused, listen, afflictions of life are your thermals. That's the hot spot. That's the hot spot, the difficult spots. That's where the heat's rising from. That's where the Lord's made you and I, as believers in Christ, with exceptionally keen eyesight, to be able to sight them, lift above them, and rise above them. And when they're all done, said and done, we still are up there. And that's what the Lord is designed for us in this. So it's an exceeding, it's a great weight of glory. Not just a little bit. This is a light affliction. Oh, light affliction. I am always concerned. I'll be honest with you. I'm always concerned with a soul that I'm dealing with when they start this, woe is me. I know we have that human aspect sometimes, but when it gets in, oh, I've had it worse than anybody else. I don't know why it's happened to me. I generally start happening. I think there needs to be prayer before there's prayer here. They're not on the thermals. They're not up to where they can ride above this. I've seen the good old saints die. I've seen those that was up there. And I'm going to tell you, their eyes were steadfast. And they saw the glory up there. And that's what they was looking for. Live their life for that. I believe that. My grandmother, I still remember her words. She said to me, Marty, I'm tired and I want to go home. That's looking over there. I'm tired. He wasn't saying, oh, I don't know why I feel so bad. I'm wanting to go over there. I've lived for this, she taught, and I'm ready to go on and be over there. The Lord help us. Then he says, while we look not at the things which are seen. See, that's grounded. That's just being grounded. When we look at the natural events, and I follow politics some, I'll be honest with you. I'm very interested in the political and what's going on around. But I want to add something here. It's really valuable to you. Because if we, let's say it this way. If by chance the Lord blesses and we escape what we think is a bad decision this fall, and we escape and it doesn't turn out that way, folks, it ain't going to be long. And you know it as well as I do what's coming. It's going to be there. That's not our answer. It's never been in the history of the church that the answer lies that way. It's just not. For we look not. We're not looking at the temporal. I am not going to be discouraged by the grace of God. I am not going to be cast down. I am not going to be beaten down. I'm not going to be put down if I'm on the thermals. If I'm living for Christ and I'm living above this stuff, I'm not going to be brought down because He's a great and mighty God. He's a great Savior and He's able to keep you and I no matter what happens in life. It might be, if we'll get our spiritual eyes in tune, that there's still people out there that can be touched, and this is the avenue to it, and we should be praying, Lord, put us in the place that we can be faithful. Put us there that we can touch people, help people. Be workers in your kingdom in your last days, Lord. Help us to see it with these eyes, a vision of eyes that you've given us and all those things. Lord, help us to have the kind of faith in God that's going to matter here at last to get the people that you want us to. And this might be the way to do it. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying be ready to do it. Look beyond the natural because it looked bad. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you start putting your heart on, I'm just going to tell you the truth. You're going to be disappointed. There is people that put so much into their sports teams. It isn't just by a little bit. They put so much into it, and then they lose. What happens when they lose? Well, I think there's some people in here that knows. I mean, I've known people that would burn their hat. I mean, there's people in here that would, I mean, they would destroy their stuff. It's so important that it doesn't. I tell you how to not do that. Don't put your heart on it. Put it on someone that wins every round. Put it on someone that never fails, and then you don't have to worry about that because he's a winner all the time. He's a winner all the time. For he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So as we look, and folks, listen, we got to get this down where we live or it does us no good. So Lord, help us tonight by His Spirit to place this in whatever's going on in your life. Because whatever it is that is temporally looked at, it needs to be looked at spiritually. Because there's the victory of it. And do you know what the Lord always does? He always does it in my life. He'll always say, humble yourself. Do you know to soar high, you humble yourself low? I mean, it's a paradox, but it's absolutely true that if you want to soar high, you humble yourself down to God. You humble yourself down in these kind of things. We don't look at the things that we see with our eyes, the turmoil, the war, the things that's going on. Do you know that's all temporal? It's temporal. Do you know that really, though it's been blessed and lasted, that the United States is temporal? It's temporal. Do you know, our kingdom is not of this world. Why? Because I've appreciated living here. I thank God for the time, and well we should, and the Lord tells us to pray for the rulers and leaders of our land, and well we should, that we might live a peaceable life, but folks, it's still tangible. I still can look at the government with my eye. I look at the men that this is I. It's still just grounded. It's grounded. Lord, help us to realize it's grounded to this earthly processes of things. And the Lord don't want His people grounded with it. You know, sometimes a bad storm will come into these airports, and one of the first thing you hear, there's so many planes grounded. They can't take off. Because it's too serious of a situation and they're grounded and people are stuck there in it. And if we're not careful in a spiritual place, the storms come. And you know what happens when you're in a plane? And I've never been in the big planes, but some of you have been in the big planes. What happens when you're in the big planes? Where's the storms at when you're in a big plane? Huh? Yeah, but these planes also go about 40,000 feet, don't they? You know what? Yeah, you can go through the storms, and we do. Perfect analogy, because we've got to go through the storms and those things. We do, but you know what happens? You usually fly over them. The plane gets up above them, above the turbulence, above the lightning strikes, above the snow that would build up. It gets up above them, and it's just smooth. You know why they go up there? The fuel mileage is so much better up there because there's no resistance of the air up there. And they can just travel on through there. And if you do that in this life, when we begin to get involved, and I know that Christians ought to be, I'm not saying it that, you know what I'm talking about, but you can get yourself and your mind and involved on something so much on this earth that you ground yourself against what the truth spiritually is. I've known people that had great passions against abortion so much. They thought it was such a righteous cause that they become carnal in doing it. You're hooking yourself to a tangible and you become grounded. You know you're no higher than it is when you become like that. Where God don't want us to fight sin with sin. He don't want us to fight carnality with carnality. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. You can see the carnal. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, even casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. See, that's up above it. Every thought to the obedience, Christ approves of my thought. Instead of allowing my mind to wander and worry and care down here on this earth and fighting it and struggling with all the cares down here and how I deal with it and what I ought to do above it, Lord didn't want us that anyway. Every thought through the obedience of Christ. Now, you get above that and you start saying, wait a minute. My natural inclination is to have some bitterness right there. And they're evil and wrong and I'll stay away. But now I'm above that. I see something different. Jesus died for them. And of all of us, Paul said, I'm chief of sinners. So he had a good concept of it. He was able to rise above it. Lord, help us. to rise above it. Folks, I wish the whole world could hear it, but they are not listening. It's just a little congregation here in Springfield, but it's for every one of us to get a hold of. Because we'll sell ourselves, we'll sell the Lord short in what He can do for us in our life. To name the name of Christ and be just stuck down in this little hole, not being able to fly, not being able to see, is not what the Lord designed for us in our lives. Luke 21. Twenty-one and 25 of Luke says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexities, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass," now listen, when they begin to come to pass, He didn't say when it got to the end of it. He said when you see the signs, when the things start, what are you going to do? It says when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Look up. You know, I get an image in my mind, I think of that scripture of literally going around looking up. But if you do that, the only thing you're going to see is the roof, the ceiling over your head. And if you're outside, you'll see the sky. This don't really mean that. What this is saying is inside you, look up. Get your head up. Get your courage up. Folks, we have nothing to look down for. Why? Why? Do you know as horrible and awesome as the day of God will be? It'll be that glorious for those that followed Him. That's the scriptures. That's what He's saying. Don't, if you're bound on this earth, you're going to be a part of those men failing. They're, for what's sin coming on the earth, it's going to destroy everything you're anchored to and you too. But when you've been set free and it's all about, I'm going to heaven, I'm hooked up with Jesus, and here He's coming back, it's going to be a glorious day for me because I'm going to go with my Savior. I've led my life for Him. That's what that scripture's saying. When you see these things happen, look up. Why? Your redemption draweth nigh. The Lord's coming for you. You lived for Him, didn't you? He's not going to forsake you, is He? He's going to come back and get you if you're not earthbound. You can't be grounded at this time in this earth. You got to be free in the Lord. Lord, help us to be free. This scripture is talking about the way people get themselves in this kind of a place in their lives. And all these things that happen, most of them, they see it. There's an awesome thing coming on this earth. I mean, if I got liberty to say that, boy, look at this. It's different than it ever was in my lifetime. It's just an uneasiness, an unsettledness about things. And I'll get to feeling that way sometimes. And it grounds me. It does. It just grounds me. And then I start looking up. And it frees me. The worry goes away. Why? Because I've got confidence in the God that healed me, that healed my children, that's blessed me through the years, that's done miraculous things for me. I can go through, I ought to too. I ought to write it down just for my children's sake. The things that I've seen, God, I know it's the Lord. I know it is. He's real. The Lord gave us a van. And when we got this van, I had about, it's not the one we have now, but this van we got, the Lord gave it to us. And it was about 20,000 miles on the van. And that was and I remember right off thinking, you know, I was thanking the Lord for giving it. Lord worked and give us this van. I thought, I ought to get me some insurance. I'm not against insurance. You got to have insurance on your vehicles. But I was like, I got to get some full coverage on this. Boy, if I'd wreck this, then I could get this money back and all this. And I just felt like the Lord reproved me of that. I just give you a van and you're thinking that way. And I was like, yes, that's right. Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. I said, Lord, this is not my van. I said, Lord, anytime a saint's needed you, wherever, Lord, this is yours. You know, I consecrated that thing to the Lord. We never broke down on the road all the time we had it. It broke down about 3 times in my driveway when we got there. We was going down through Oklahoma one time, cruise control, 3 o'clock or something like that in the morning. I kind of was sleepy, Everybody else was asleep. I saw a deer coming. That deer was running right out, and it was going to come right in front of it, 75 mile an hour, and here comes a deer. And the only thing I had time to do was say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Here was that thing come. And you know, when I went by, that deer run out there, and you answered. I'm just telling you what I saw. That I saw all 4 feet of that deer up in the air like this. That deer come running through there, and all of a sudden here it was, and it just spun. It never even clipped the mirror on my van. I'm telling you, it was right by my window as I went by these deer. It was just like the Lord just went and spun that deer just and went on. And the Lord told me, I told you I'd take care of that van. Just as I went just a little ways, the Lord said, I told you I'd take care of that van. This is the God that we serve. When I get anxious and worried about things and then I look up, He can take care of that. And old Daniel went down there. Do you realize that Daniel went down, he was a captive? A faithful young man, and God allowed him to be carried down into Babylon, but he never forsook him. He lived quite a life down there in Babylon, didn't he? He didn't leave him down, he raised him up, and God, surely Daniel could say, brother, it couldn't hardly get no worse than that old kingdom was. I surely would have said that. Joseph could have said the same thing. You think your land's bad? I lived in the days of the pharaohs and all their gods and all those things. God was faithful all the way through. 2012, folks, don't get grounded. Don't get grounded in this old life. Get your eyes up on the Lord. He's able. He's more than able to take care of the needs that we have in our lives. Oh, see, I think I have one more scripture I was wanting to look at. It was Romans 5. Oh, maybe I'll skip that one and get Hebrews 12. This is just an all-around good scripture. Romans 12 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Folks, that always just sticks out with me. Men's hearts failing them for looking upon the things that's coming. Then stop looking. That's an easy one. Quit looking and obey this scripture. Looking unto Jesus, the author. That's amazing to me. Oh, the story of old Marty Clevenger. The Lord takes out his pen and starts in his little tablet. July 19, 1962. Here we go. There's the author. But he not only authored it, he's the finisher of it. So looking unto Jesus, lay aside. Why are you going to lay aside? So he can run. So it can fly. It can fly with weights on you. Ostrich, big old heavy bird, they don't clear no ground. They can run, but they can't fly. They don't see anything up above the clouds. They don't get above anything. No, he wants us to raise up. Get your weights off. Look, looking into Jesus, don't hook yourself to all these things this world. Oh, devil wants to try to hook us up with so many things. Got to have the finer things of life. Got to have the big house. Got to have the big car. Got to have the fancy thing. Got to have the nicest of clothes, the best shoes. Got to have all these things. Wow. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Thanking God for what he's done, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I honestly believe that if we could get a hold of this, it would start changing our relationships. I think it would change everything in our lives, that we would get our eyes off of this earth. We live here. We've got to be a part of it, but get the eyes off of it. Because there has been great men that accomplished a lot of things and got great wealth, and they died. And the scripture said they don't know whether they leave it to the wise or the fool. And that comes true a lot of times. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.